The following message is brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity and was recorded at Westminster Chapel in Toronto. To learn more about the Ezra Institute's mission to advance the Lordship of Christ, please visit www.ezrainstitute.ca.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading today is taken from Revelations chapter 22, verses 6 to 21. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things say, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." This is the reading from God's Word.
Before we come into God's Word together, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, be gracious to us this morning, that we may live and keep your Word. Open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things in your Word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the first Sunday in our new Advent series. And Advent is a season in the life of the church, in the church calendar, of expectation. It's a season of anticipation. It's a season when we look forward and prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas. The time of Jesus coming. And that's what the word Advent means. It means coming. And in these 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas, we prepare for the coming of Christ and our celebration of his coming on Christmas Day. But Advent also anticipates the second coming, the future coming of Christ. So this is a time of preparation to celebrate his first coming on Christmas Day. But it's also a time of anticipation and expectation for his second coming. And it's during this season in December where we remember that we are meant to be like the virgins in the parable, who were prepared, who were ready for the coming of the bridegroom. And this is a time for us of preparation, of expectation, a time of looking, a time of watchfulness. This first Sunday of our Advent series also comes at a time, as we've just been praying, of sorrow and mourning, because we've lost our dear brother, Ivan. But Advent is a season of hope. And it's a season of hope because it's a time when we fix our eyes on Christ. And when we focus and we listen to his promises. And that's what we need to do this morning. We need to fix our eyes on Christ. We need to listen to his word to us. And we're reminded of that last night, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, when he was eating his last supper with his disciples. Remember, he said to them, this is John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Now, this is Jesus' word to the church. It was Jesus' word to his disciples, and it's Jesus' word to us today. He says to us today, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There's lots of room in my Father's house, and I've gone to prepare a place for you there, and I'm coming again, and we'll be together forever. So this is Jesus' promise to us. He says to us today, I will come again. And it's a promise that he repeats to us in the book of Revelation, in the last chapter. We've just heard it, Revelation chapter 22. This is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, and these are the last words of Christ to us. And he says again to us, I'm coming. He says, behold, I'm coming soon. So this last chapter of the book of Revelation, it gives us this exhortation to look, to behold. In the King James Version, lo. Lo, I am coming. I am coming soon. It calls on us to fix our eyes on Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the root and branch of Jesse, the descendant of David. He is the bright and morning star. And the last book of the Bible says, look on him. Look on the bright morning star. But we also have in this last chapter of the book of Revelation an invitation. Let everyone who is thirsty come and take of the water of life. Come and drink. So we have these two exhortations. On the one hand, look, behold. And we have the invitation, come. Come and drink from the waters of life. It's an invitation not just to look on Christ, but to follow him. And so that's what we need to consider this morning. We need to fix our eyes on Christ, and we need to hear his invitation to come and follow him. So first, three times Jesus says to us in this last chapter, I'm coming. In verse 7, he says, behold, I'm coming soon. In verse 12, he says again, behold, I am coming soon. And in verse 20, he says, surely, I am coming soon. Now, in the season of Advent, we look forward to this coming. We have our eyes open, we're looking, we're beholding, as God's word exhorts us to do. But there's also a tension in this season of Advent, because we are looking for him. And he does say to us, I'm coming soon. But we're preparing for the celebration of Christmas, and the title of our Advent series is God with us, Emmanuel. And remember, this is what Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension. He says, behold, again, that exhortation, behold, look, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says this to his disciples just before he leaves. He says, behold, I'm with you. I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we always have to have our eyes open to that fact. He is with us always. But then he left. And he says to us in the last chapter of the book of the Bible, "Behold, I am coming soon." So we have this double exhortation. On the one hand, look, behold, I am with you always. And then a second exhortation, behold, I'm coming soon. I'm with you and I'm coming to you. So how do we resolve this tension? Is he with us or is he coming to us? Well, yes. The answer is yes, he's with us. And yes, he's coming soon. Both are true. It is true that Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, and he's there. And that's why he says to us, "One day I'm coming to you." But this doesn't mean that he's somewhere far away. I remember singing this song when I was a little boy in Sunday school. Somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place for those who trust him and obey. But that's not true. That song's not true, and I hope your kids don't sing it. And if they do, they should stop. Because it's not true. Christ is not somewhere in outer space. He's with us. Now, yes, he's in heaven. Yes, he's at the right hand of God. But heaven is not some place in a galaxy far, far away. Heaven is present. Heaven is right here, right now. It's a present reality, but it's a spiritual reality. It's an invisible reality. And what the Bible teaches is actually there's a veil that right now separates heaven and earth. So we don't see Christ with us, even though he is with us, because the veil between heaven and earth hides him from us. However, on the last day when he comes, that veil will be lifted. And that's what Jesus means when he says to us, "I'm coming soon." He means I'm about to lift the veil. I'm with you now, and I'm about to lift the veil. And actually, this is what the book, this is what Revelation means, the book of Revelation. The word in Greek literally means unveiling, to lift the veil. And what we have in the book of Revelation is a series of visions that John has, and John is permitted to see behind the veil. He sees what normally we can't see. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he's invited to come up. Look, behold, what must soon take place. He gets to look behind the veil. And what does he see there? That first vision in Revelation 4 and 5 is a vision of the heavenly throne room. He sees the one seated on the throne. He sees the lion and the lamb. He sees there that God is in absolute control over everything that's happening. Even if on this side of the veil it doesn't look like it. Even if it doesn't always seem like that's the case. John gets to see behind the veil. There's more than meets the eye. And he sees there, yes, there's one seated on the throne. And he is sovereign and he's ruling. And the lion and the lamb is present with his people. And the lamb is the good shepherd, and the lamb is leading the flock. He's leading us, his people. He's leading us to green pastures and streams of living water. That's really what's going on. John sees that. And he also sees the future. And we see this in Revelation 21, the chapter before the chapter that we just heard. So if you're still there, just turn back a page to Revelation 21. This is what John sees. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also, he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. These words are trustworthy and true. And John did write it down. And this is what we see behind the veil. This is the future. This is our certain future. The new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. That one day God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. But right now there's a veil hiding that from us. Right now we're in the present. That's the future. Even so, Christ is with us. He's not waiting for us there at that future day. And he's not somewhere far away in heaven. Right now he's with us. And he says to us, look, I'm with you. I'm with you till the end of the age. But he also says, I am coming soon. By which he means, I'm going to lift the veil one day. And in this season of Advent, we celebrate both realities. The fact that Jesus is with us. He is with us now. And we open our eyes to see that. Look, I'm with you. But we also look forward to that future coming, to the lifting of the veil, when we will see him as he is. So it's a time of expectation. It's a time of when we pray, come, Lord Jesus. When we pray, thy kingdom come. That's also why we sing songs like, O come, Emmanuel. And come, thou long expected Jesus. So it's a time when the church sings and prays, come, Lord Jesus. And he answers us when we pray that. He says, behold, I am coming. I am coming soon. But there's more to it. This exhortation to behold, it's an exhortation to behold the presence of Christ with us now, who is the root and descendant of David, verse 16, and the bright morning star. He is the root and descendant of David, and he's the bright morning star. We've already heard from Isaiah chapter 11 this morning. This is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, the coming king, the descendant of David. It prophesies a time when this Messiah, this Savior, filled with the Holy Spirit, will set things right. He will rule with justice. And we read that there will be an advance of his kingdom, an increasing knowledge of the Lord, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 11 says this, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Now, that day was the day of Christ's birth. We celebrate that at Christmas. And ever since then, Christ has been a banner for the nations. And the nations are rallying to him, and his resting place, the church, is glorious. He's a light to the nations, a signal, a banner to the nations. That's why the book of Revelation also says he is the bright and morning star. The light to the nations, the bright and morning star. That's why we sing, silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Now notice the image there, the dawn of redeeming grace. Christ is the bright morning star. Now, the morning star appears in the sky right at the moment when it's darkest, 3 a.m., at the darkest time of the night. But the appearance of that star assures us that the morning is coming, that the dawn is right around the corner. And Jesus is the bright and morning star, the promise that the morning is coming. And it's fitting that we celebrate Advent in December. This is the darkest time of the year. And yet, even now, we see the bright morning star. We see Christ. And that star assures us of the fact that the veil will be lifted, that the morning will come. I am the bright morning star. Behold, I am coming soon. And that's the first exhortation to us. And it's what we remember all through this season of Advent, all through December. We have our eyes open. We look. We look to see Christ's presence with us, and we look to see his coming. But there's a second exhortation in this passage. There's a second invitation. We're invited to come to him, the fountain of living water, to drink water, and to keep his word. Notice it says that twice. We are those who keep the word of this book, the word of this prophecy. Look at verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let one who hears come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Now this repeats the invitation that we see in the previous chapter, Revelation 21, where the one seated on the throne says, I am making all things new, and those who are thirsty come and take the water of life without price. And remember, Jesus said this himself in his own ministry to the woman at the well. He says, I offer you living water. And whoever drinks this water, a fountain will bubble up in him or her. A fountain of eternal life. And Jesus says, remember also in John 7, whoever is thirsty, come to me, and I will give him drink. So this is the invitation we have this morning, the invitation to come and drink from the water of life. Come and drink without cost. Now, what is this water of life? Well, it's clear from Scripture, it's clear from the New Testament that the water of life is the Holy Spirit, but it's also the Word of God. So we have both references there. Sometimes the water of life refers to the Holy Spirit, sometimes it refers to the Word of God, and actually it's always referring to both. They always go hand in hand. God's Spirit is the living water, the water that revives us, the water that brings us living, eternal life. But the means by which we drink that water is by hearing God's word and by responding in faith and by responding in obedience. That's actually how we drink the water. And that's clear from Isaiah 55. And actually this picture that we get, this invitation to come and drink the water, it comes from Isaiah 55. And we need to hear God's word to us this morning. So I want to read the whole chapter. So turn with me there, Isaiah chapter 55. It's 13 verses. Come, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor on that which does not satisfy? And now God tells us what he means by drinking. Listen to this. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. And delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. This is what it means to drink. It means hearing the word of God and responding in obedience and faith. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know. And a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and let him have compassion on, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And I shall make a name for the Lord. It shall make a name for the Lord. An everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's the invitation that we're getting in Revelation 22 to come and drink. It means listen to my word. It's trustworthy and true. Hear my word. Seek me while I may be found. And in Scripture, whenever we hear, whenever there's the exhortation to hear God's word, to listen to God's word, it always implies obeying God's word. Hearing implies obedience. And that's what it means to drink. It means to hear and trust God's word and then to obey it. In other words, it means to hear the word of Christ and follow him. And notice the result. For those that hear the word, for those that drink the water, the result is blessing. Instead of the thorn bush and the briar, these things represent a curse. Instead of those things will spring up the cypress and the myrtle. These are symbols of God's blessing. Those who come and drink, those who listen to the call of Christ and respond in obedience will be blessed. And notice we have the same thing in Revelation 22, blessings and curses. Those who hear the word of Christ and accept his invitation will be blessed. They have the right to eat from the tree of life. They will dwell in the holy city. But those who reject his word, who refuse to follow, well, they'll be cursed. They'll be cast out of the holy city. They'll be cut off from the tree of life. So this is the other exhortation that we have this morning. Not only to look and behold, but to listen and to follow Christ. And with it comes blessing. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, these blessings are both future and present. They're already and they're not yet. We get a beautiful picture of the future blessing that God has for us in Revelation chapter 7. Here John has a vision of the church. It's a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And he asks one of the elders in heaven, who are these people? And this is what the elder says. This is Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 to 17. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him night and day in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. That's one of my favorite lines in the whole Bible. The Lamb will be the shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's a picture of our future blessing. And Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon. Behold, you'll be there soon. But even now, the Good Shepherd is with us. Behold, I'm with you until the end of the age. Even now, he guides us to living water. Even now, he wipes away the tears from our eyes. Remember what Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And he says, the sheep, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. No one will snatch them out of my hand. They will not perish. That's the word of the good shepherd to us right now, today. No one will snatch you out of my hand. You will never perish. That's the promise of the security of our salvation. No one will snatch you out of my hand. You will never perish. Nothing separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He has a hold of us, and he's not letting go. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ. No one will snatch us from his hand, not even death. They will never perish, he says. But notice what else he says there. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Now, the blessing that we have right now is the presence of Christ with us. It is his voice with us. We hear it right now. But notice what he says. My sheep not only hear my voice, but they follow me. And we need to follow him. Just picture that image of a shepherd and the sheep. The sheep who are close to the shepherd, they hear his voice, and the voice of the shepherd comforts them. It assures them, we know he's with us. He has us. He's not letting go. But what if the sheep doesn't follow the shepherd? Well, as the shepherd moves on, his voice becomes more distant. And we don't have the assurance of his voice, and we lose the assurance of his presence, and we start to doubt our salvation. We start to wonder, maybe he'll let us go. I don't hear his voice so clearly anymore. Well, that's because you don't follow his voice. That's what it means to come and drink. That's what it means to keep the words of this prophecy. We have to always be following the Good Shepherd, and then we'll have the assurance, the clearness of his voice with us. He leads us to green pasture. If we don't follow him, we'll be hungry. He leads us to living water. If we don't follow him, we'll be thirsty. So this is the second exhortation that we have in this passage. We need to not only hear his voice, we need to follow it. And in following it, we have the blessing of his presence with us. We know that he's with us. Remember what Jesus says to his disciples in John 15. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Rest in my love. Be secure in my love." But then he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Again, if we don't keep his commandments, we don't rest in the security of his love. So that's the second exhortation. Listen and follow. But even so, he's the good shepherd. He doesn't lose any of his sheep. Sometimes the sheep wander. Sometimes the sheep get caught in a thicket. The good shepherd goes and seeks the lost sheep. He rescues it from the thicket. He picks it up and brings it back to the flock. And you may find yourself at a time right now in your life where you're at a distance from the flock. They've moved on. The sound of the voice of the good shepherd is distant. Well, run to him. Hear his voice again. And know that he will never let you go. He'll come back and get you. It may mean discipline. Sometimes the shepherd has to strike the sheep. That happens. But he won't let you go. And that's the promise that we have in the last book of the Bible. He is with us. Behold, I am with you till the end of the age. And also, I am coming soon. Come and take the water of life without price. And we need to do that today. And we need to do that in this season of Advent. Come to the water and drink without price. And remember, Jesus is with us now, and he says to us, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me and trust in God. And know that one day he will lift the veil." And he says to us again today, "I'm coming soon, and I'm going to lift the veil, and then you will see me. And I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death will be no more, and mourning and crying will be no more, for the former things have passed away." And it's on that day that we'll sing "Joy to the World." Isaac Watts wrote that as a hymn about the second coming of Christ, actually. And we'll sing on that day, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found." But even now, his blessings are flowing to us. Even now, he offers us the water without price. And even now, we can declare that Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's the bright morning star. He's the star at 3 a.m. Right now in December, the days are the darkest, but Jesus is the bright morning star, the assurance of the coming dawn, so that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, because we know he is with us. And we can say with David, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever." Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the invitation, the exhortation to behold you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us always. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And we also thank you that you are coming soon, that one day the veil will be lifted and you will set all things right. And there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying. And you will, once and for all, wipe away every tear from our eyes. And so we pray with the church as the church has prayed in every generation, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Please feel free to share it with friends, but do not charge for or alter the material in any way without the express written consent of the EICC. Thank you.